Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is Saturday, November 6th, 2021. A sunny and rather cool morning, and we've had a frost in each morning of the last several days. As always, thank you to Ron Trammell and the Cats Tribute Band for our jazzy intro music. A couple of weeks ago, I attended the annual meeting of the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association, TRPA, which was held in Clarksville, Tennessee. It was the first time I've attended this meeting in many years, and I was warmly welcomed by many old friends, a couple of whom I've interviewed on this podcast, and it was fun to meet several of the younger leaders of this group. One of the standing features of this podcast is interviews with individuals who have been recognized by TRPA for their leadership and dedication to parks and recreation, and have been awarded the status of fellow. My guest today is Sylvia Pinson. Sylvia now serves as a county commissioner in Bedford County, Tennessee, the Shelbyville area, and is now retired after a long career in parks and recreation. She was the 2012 recipient of the TRPA Fellow Award. Each time I do one of these interviews, I learn something I didn't know about an old friend. And in that regard, today's interview was no exception. Sylvia's is a story of dedication and persistence in leadership. And so I hope you'll enjoy this interview with Sylvia Pinson. Today's interview was conducted using the Zoom meeting application over the internet. Unfortunately, there are some audio quality issues in portions of the interview. For this, we apologize and beg your indulgence. Thank you. Sylvia Pinson, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Sylvia, it's great to see you. It's been many years.
Too many is correct.
Sylvia, we're talking on a Friday afternoon, and I'm in Nashville, and I figure you're in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am.
Sylvia, go ahead.
This is my hometown.
Well, I understand, yeah, and I want to get into that in some detail. As you know, over the last few years, I've been trying to have the opportunity to talk with folks like yourself, who have been recognized leaders in the park and recreation field in Tennessee, and have been awarded the Fellow Award by the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association. And you are one of those folks. That award has been given out for 50 years or so, and I think I've done 15 or 20 of those folks of which you're a member. One of the things I like to start with, though, is to just ask you about your upbringing, and what about it motivated you to choose a career in parks and recreation?
Actually, I grew up in Bedford County. I was a farm girl, and I went to high school and started playing basketball. In 1964, the Shelbyville Golden Eaglets won TSWA state championship.
Let me stop you there. Now, Shelbyville is nationally regarded as a dominant force in women's basketball, has been.
Yes, yes. Now, in 1964, with my team, we were the first of the 12. And in 1964, my coach in 1974 came back and won. Then Rick Insull at MTSU now had 10 championships with the TSWA.
Right. So your high school graduating class was 1964?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. It's Shelbyville High School, or is it Bedford County?
Sir.
Yeah, Shelbyville
High School. No. Shelbyville Central High School.
Right. And so what about that had anything to do with choosing a career in parks and recreation?
Yes, it did. When you play sports, you learn a lot of core values. And my intent was go to school and become a home economics teacher or a 4-H in education there. But when I got into playing basketball, I immediately started in the physical education, recreation, health, physical education, and recreation. I had 2 years at Martin College in Pulaski, Tennessee, which is now UT Southern.
That's right. Yeah. Just this year. And,
Yes. And transferred to UT. And that's where I finished with the health, physical education, recreation major.
Did you play basketball at UT?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
Pethead Summit. Pethead Summit had a chance. She's the one that started. I was 4 years too old. I mean, she was younger than me.
I see.
But
I see.
I was recruited by the National Business College to play ball. But at that time, my family was on base, and you either had a choice of staying at a YWCA or a business school in Nashville. So I chose a college track to go to college.
Got it. So you finished up your degree in parks and recreation, and I guess it was health, physical education, and recreation at UT.
That is correct. Right. UT Knoxville.
And tell us about that experience. I knew some of the professors there years ago, but maybe you had different ones than I know.
Well, Dr. Helen Lay, Dr. Becky Crockett was some of my teachers at that time.
Okay.
And so, but after that, I graduated and I was working at the Orange and White Bookstore. And Armstrong State College in Savannah, Georgia, called the UT Physical Education Department in UT and needed someone to fill a spring quarter at their college and in swimming, aquatics. And I had just graduated and I was able to secure that job for the summer. And I left UT in the fall, graduated in the fall, and went to Armstrong State College and started my professional career there.
And what were you doing there?
I was teaching aquatics in the summer, spring quarter. The PE teacher before me had committed suicide.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were looking for someone. Yes. And there's many stories behind that. My family and I went down and they borrowed me a bed and a chest of drawer to stay with the roommate. And ironically, she was from Bartlett, Tennessee. And so I stayed on. And from there, I stayed on a year. Well, that's that summer. And then I went another year, and I married after that, and that was during the peak of the Vietnam War, and my husband, with a ceasefire in 1972, came home, and I left the Armstrong State, and we went to Fort Rucker, Alabama, so I started there. That's where it began.
So tell us more about how your career progressed from that point on. I first met you when you were working in Jackson, Tennessee, but apparently there was several
many
things
habits.
That happened before you got to Jackson
that
I don't know much about. So tell us about that.
Okay. Once the Cyrus, we got to Fort Rucker, Alabama, I subbed in their schools. The kids on base didn't know where I was going to show up. And that was during the rule of the American Red Cross. We're training 10 people, first aid classes throughout their employment, employees. And I spent a lot of time doing that and volunteering and went out in the community and recreation and did a lot of volunteer as a military wife.
I see.
We were transferred to St. Louis, Missouri. And then from St. Louis, Missouri, he and I separated our lives. But at that time, I had gone to work for the city of Florissant, Missouri as a programmer in recreation. And 3 months into the job, the superintendent of recreation resigned his position. They interimed me to become, and I had the longest title of my life, superintendent of 3 swimming pools, a recreation center, and an outdoor ice rink. And I can tell you, this Southern Belle knew nothing about ice rinks.
Now, what city was this that did that?
The city of Florissant, Missouri. It's all just right outside of St. Louis.
Okay. All yeah right.
So I was there, and then I married a guy that was in the grocery business, and we were transferred to Bartlett, Tennessee.
Ah, okay.
Now from Bartlett, we're getting back yeah to Tennessee. In St. Louis, though, we had 2 wonderful boys, and I had pulled 7 years out of my professional life to become a mom. I'm still a mom.
Right.
But very successful young man to these days.
Dynamite.
And from there, I went to Bartlett. And at that time, they were looking for a person to become the first center director to a Shelby County school in the Ellendale community outside of Bartlett to Arlington.
All right. So our listeners will not be confused. Shelbyville, where you are today, is in Bedford County. Bartlett is right in Shelby County, which you'd think Shelbyville would be in Shelby County, but it isn't. Shelby County is the same county that Memphis is in. So
correct.
Bartlett is north Memphis, north Memphis, basically.
Yes. If you come in I-40 from Nashville, it's going to be your first major city as you enter in city of Bartlett.
Correct.
So Jess Whittington, you remember Jess?
Yes, I do.
Director of Parks. Okay. So I decided I had put one of the children in preschool and I had the other one with me. He was 3 years old. So I decided if I really wanted to apply for that director's job and I took the child and I went to Jesse's office for 3 hours. It was a cold call on Jess Whittington. 3 hours we talked about Parks and Rec. And of course, coming from Missouri, we had a resident card. He'd ask me a question and I'd fire one right back at him.
Right.
And that's I can do that because that's how I operate. But anyway, I really want to know what's going on. So to make a long story short, he said it will be sometime in September. So I kindly waited. But right before the summer hit, he called me and he said, Sylvia, how about coming and running our program in our parks? I said, I'd be glad to as long as you allow me to apply for the full-time job. He said, that would be good. So I went to work for $5 an hour, run a camp, 40 hours a week for 8 weeks. You know what you need. And that's good. That works for me. Give me what you want done, cut me loose, and I'll bring the show to you. But anyway, so I did that and finished that program. Then that was in August. And September came and government moves slow. As we all know, it takes forever to get someone hired. Then in February, he called me one day and he says, Sylvia, we've decided to promote you from your part-time position to the full-time center directing for Singleton Community Center in Bartlett, Tennessee. And ironically, the day I went to work, handed keys and said, oh, by the way, you have cheerleading tryouts.
Oh my goodness.
Well, here I'm in a, yeah. Thanks, Jess. You know, but fortunately, that's the type of person I am. You give me what you want done, cut me loose, and I'll come back to you.
So about what year was that that you got started in Bartlett?
In Bartlett?
Yeah.
1984.
Okay.
84. And then from Bartlett, I was there 84, 85, 86. And at that time, my husband wanted to move to Norman, Oklahoma. And, you know, Harvey Fowles,
yes.
He and I had, you know, gone to many Edith Upchurch Innovative Forum. And I was serving on some boards with him. But the family went. I was miserable the whole time. But I went to work for the Cleveland CA in Norman, Oklahoma. And I met John Spanath. He was the most innovative person in aquatics that I had ever worked with or for. And then the family were there a year. And then, of course, I had made friends with Jerry Guess in Jackson when they gave me the job as the senior citizens director.
Okay, let's back up just a second.
I was there from 1986. Okay.
Let's back up. I want to complete that thought, but you mentioned an individual, and we're having some difficulty with the audio here today. For some reason, I don't know what's going on, but it may just be that the internet is slow today. But you mentioned an individual in Oklahoma who was the most innovative person in aquatics that you ever knew or could remember up until that time. Tell us who that was and what was innovative about what he was doing there.
Well, he came out, he was John Spanath. He knew all about UT and the coach in aquatics, one of the swim coach at UT, and he worked.
Well, Ray Buzzard was the.
He really was. He invented Ray Buzzard.
His
friend, John Spanath, came from state. But John would challenge me, and I in turn challenged him. And we were running about 25 lifeguards at this swimming pool during the week. And my job was, of course, had a water safety instructor trainer through all of this.
Right.
And kept the aquatics up. And I learned a lot from him.
Fantastic.
So when I got to... And that was just another caviar to my professional life when I ran into him.
Wow. So, Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you know Ray Buzzard when you were at UT?
No.
I worked
for a living, you know.
I had to tell you, you may recall that I was Parks and Rec director in Gatlinburg years ago. And one of the very first things that we did was to bring Coach Buzzard up to do a clinic for our summer swim club kids. And man, what a character. And he was a one-man show. He knew how to handle the whole situation. We probably had 50 or 60 kids, and it was just him with a whistle. And a couple hours, he was running those kids through their paces. It was just terrific fun. To watch him go, and a real innovator in competitive swimming, in terms of training techniques, and one of the first people to actually use weight training in for swimmers effectively in swimming programs. So remarkable guy. You know, if you list in your life some of the remarkable people that you've met, he'd be on the list for sure.
Correct.
All right, so. We've now got you in Jackson, Tennessee as a senior center senior center director. Is that what happened?
Yeah, senior citizen director. Yeah. They were, if you remember, Pat Offord was superintendent of recreation.
Right.
And Jerry Guest was the director. Okay. So when I had applied for the job, I got hired under a three commissioner format. And then I hired in September, and then in November, they went from a three commissioner setup to nine councilmen. So came under that. Yeah, I worked for Jerry Guest for 18 and a half years there.
Well, let's
transfer.
Now, here, as you're speaking of remarkable people in your life, that's another one of my remarkable people in my life. I know it is in yours. Jerry is a person I've had on my list to interview, but he's been evasive. I don't think purposely so, but hard to get a hold of. I guess I first met Jerry in 1979 or 1980 when he began to work at Jackson. So tell us what your impressions are of Jerry Guest.
Oh my gosh, what a fantastic man. He knew how to get the qualities you had. He allowed you to be who you were, to do the job without much instructions. He was we all loved him, and we would do anything for him. And again, 18 and a half years there. And then he promoted me from a programmer to superintendent. So when I left there, I was headed to Shelbyville as a director, so.
So you became superintendent of recreation in Jackson. And I guess was that at the time when Pat Offord had retired or?
Nope. No. We opened up, Pat was superintendent, and we opened up the Ned McRae Arts Performing Arts Center. And so she became the director there.
I see.
Jerry brought me up as the superintendent of recreation.
I see.
So it was a promotion. Jerry allowed me to come up into the slot.
Fantastic. So tell us about your experience there in Jackson. Just to give the audience an idea of the kinds of programming that you were involved in putting together for the city, for the people in the city of Jackson.
Okay, basically, every year I tried to create something new that would highlight our department with the senior citizens. And my job was to plan programs in all of the areas of programming for our senior adults. And I had three or four centers. One day I said to Jerry Guest, when are you going to give me a center by myself? He said, never. He said, I'm going to teach you so I can keep an eye on you here at the Civic Center. That was his comment.
Right.
Most probably that was a lot of truth. So we did programming, and I tracked it from aquatics all the way to dance, the areas of program of arts and ceramics. And I also created a doodah band. We traveled to outreach through a lot of the nursing homes. And then I created the first tap dance group. And I'll never forget, Pat Offord said, who's going to teach this? And I said, I am. Well,
now,
hold on
a second. Now, you're
I said, well, I had it under Becky Crock.
You're going to have to go back and tell us what a doodah group is.
Doodah band. Okay. A doodah band was anything played. We had five different shows, and they either had a washboard, they had bells, they had different instruments like that. And I created a show, a Tennessee Hoedown show or a rock and roll show with costumes. And so that type of, and it was all pre-recorded music.
I see.
And I put all the beats and the sounds with the instruments. I had one black lady that could tear up a washboard. Matter of fact, I gave her the thimbles to play it, and she played it so well, she split the board.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had to get her another. Oh, yeah. She had that rhythmical beat that was just phenomenal. But for that, I wanted the outreach for the seniors to go into the community, such as going into nursing homes, assisted living, to highlight and bring entertainment through the Parks and Rec department, the value of what the seniors could do to help those who could not help themselves. So that was a program.
Fantastic.
And one year I did the tap dancers. So I have a creative mind on certain things. So that was some of the things I did.
You know, when people think about Parks and Recreation, many people think about the balls and bats and those sorts of things. Of course, aquatics is part of what they think about. But often people don't think about the arts and the cultural activities that communities are involved in.
And like I said, my whole theme was to go across that whole area,
right,
of Parks and Rec, from aquatics to social arts and ceramics and physical activity and health, just to target a well-balanced senior.
Right.
And also, I helped create the Senior Olympics while I was in Jackson. It went across the state, so I was on that band too. So
terrific. Now you ultimately left Jackson and came home, so to speak, to Shelbyville. Tell us how that occurred.
Well, one of the guys in Jackson walks into my office and says, "Sylvia, they are advertising for a director of parks for Shelbyville. It's got your name on it." And I said, "Kenny, kiss my grits. I'm perfectly happy. I got 5-6 more years with Jackson. I'm not interested." And he said, "But Sylvia, you know, age has a certain way of saying you're comfortable. You don't want to make a change in your life because it could be bad or it could be good." Well, he was so persistent that I went back to my computer, pulled up the city of Shelbyville, and across a 58,000 feet recreation center that they had built. And being out of Shelbyville for 42 years, I immediately called my sister and I went down to see who was a councilman and happened to have one of the cousins that I said, I call my sister, call and find out what the local politics is, because local politics can get you in trouble, as we know. She did. He said, she'd make a good one. And so, but he warned her, he said, "Now, sometimes the city manager and I don't get along." Well, the Parks and Rec Board, I looked at it. Well, Dr. Kathy was my dentist when I was in high school. Some other people on the board, I remember as being 18 when I left town. So anyway, I decided to come home for the horse show. Cut the resume. Now I'm 60 years old and thinking about changing jobs. Now, 3 hours from Jackson to Shelbyville, I'd look at that white envelope with my name on it, going, if you don't do it, you're not at a retirement age. What's going to happen to you? So I decided when I got there we came to the rec center. So I walked in and my sister was with me, and she said, "Can my sister does Parks and Rec in Jackson, can she walk through?" Well, they said, "Sure." Well, it was great because that's exactly what I wanted to see. So it had a gym that you could divide with a curtain with two gyms. Then from there, it had a 50-meter swimming pool.
Man.
And my first thought, are you kidding me? In Shelbyville, Tennessee, why do they have a 50-meter swimming pool? So one went on through it. It had a weight room, one handball court, and it had administrative offices. And I was impressed with it. So I'm still got this envelope. So I decided to co-call the city manager. Well, he was busy and could not see me. So I took the envelope, put my Sylvia Pinson name on it and my phone number. Well, that afternoon, we're back almost in Manchester, and he called me and he said, "Are you still in town?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Could you see me about 2:30 tomorrow afternoon?" I said, "Yes, sir." But I counted to 10 before I said yes.
I see.
So I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I said, "That would be great." He said, "I'd like to put a name with a face." And I said, "Okay." We get there. And 45 minutes later, and I'm known, he asked me a question. I'm going to ask him another one because I'm interviewing him too.
All right.
So anyway, long story short, he had graduated from a year in front of me, had not seen the basketball years. And so.
Oh, he graduated the year in front of you at Shelbyville. Okay.
Yeah, in Shelbyville. Went to Knoxville. I followed Knoxville. And I didn't know who he was. He didn't know who I was. So, but soon he did after that. But so he said, "I feel free. You will get an invitation." And I said, "Okay, just let me know." So I went back to Jackson. And again, nervous Nellie is going, "What happens if I do this?" You know. So I came back for the interview and did well. We had to ride the parks. He told me, he said, "If you see anything kind of odd, let me know." And we had one park board member. So I started asking questions. Well, I knew neither one of them knew what I was talking about. So I figure I had the upper hand here. So we went through the system and got to the rec center. And at that time, Shelbyville, during the interview process, videoed all of us. So anyway, Ed Craig said, "You're going to enjoy meeting one of the basketball coaches from Central because she's on a park board." And I said, "Okay." So anyway, they set up the interview, and the questions that he asked, I answered. And then I turned back and I would say, "What are you guys doing for childhood obesity?" And it was funny to me. It was like the, you know, the light in the deer's eyes.
Goodness.
Got silent.
Goodness.
So they asked me another question.
With that beautiful facility, and they hadn't given that a thought.
No.
Right.
So, but anyway, long story short, I was not their first choice. I was the superintendent coming in as a new director. But my expertise, not in park maintenance, my expertise was in recreation programming on a big facility. So, but anyway, I was their second choice. And as he called to give me the job, I'm saying, wait a minute, I've got some problems. I had a bout of cancer I had to get removed.
Oh, no.
And he said, well, when that's done, just come on. And I said, okay, because I figured when I told him that, he'd say, oh, we can't wait. He was so kind. He said, Sylvia, our mayor has had this. Don't you worry about it. Just when you can get there and or back home. And I said, October the 9th, I'll be there. That was 5 weeks from the surgery. So I had to go back to Jackson, have the surgery, work a week to retire from the city of Jackson. And I was in Shelbyville, walked in on October the 9th, 2006. How about that? That's
fantastic.
A story, huh?
Fantastic. Now, Shelbyville's had a Parks and Recreation Agency for, you know, a long time. I remember
the early, 70s.
Yeah, I mean, I remember George Claxton was a fellow that I was acquainted with years ago, who was
George
a local
Claxton.
Guy there and went on to be an insurance agent or something, I think. But I didn't realize that they had built a great big center.
Oh, heavens, it was 1994. The mayor that was instituting of getting it built and going did not run. So the people, the mayor and his team that came in behind it was going to tear it down.
Oh,
well,
my goodness.
That didn't happen. It was a battleground. $5 million in 1994. So, and it looks like $1 million still standing because all of the directors after that, they knew the importance of preventive maintenance.
Right, right.
And it is beautiful, still standing.
Fantastic. You know, that several questions come to mind as you talk about your experience there. And in Jackson, you mentioned that you first worked for Jerry Gist in Jackson in a situation where you had a city commission form of government, then the change to a larger council. And I think that my recollection is that was after a federal lawsuit forced the city of Jackson to change the way they were doing business.
That was correct.
Right.
That was correct.
And the lawsuit had to do with equal protection of the law as regards racial equality, and there are large minority population in Jackson that wasn't well represented in council at that time, so or represented at all, and so they were forced to change their form of government, which is a weird daggone thing. The same thing happened in Jackson. But now you're in Shelbyville with a city manager form of government, which is a completely different situation. Talk about what it's like to work in a city manager form of government.
Well, I can tell you what, a city manager, you can get things done. When you've got a mayor that you've got to tackle him and talk to him to get anything done. Now, a city manager and his department heads or her department head, we run the city.
Right.
Our mayor here is a part-time mayor.
Right.
And so you can get things done by having a good city manager with good department heads.
Right.
And that was the structure we had.
Right.
And I want to compliment the mayor I had in Florissant, Missouri, because I was 28 years old when I was Southern Belle in the St. Louis area. He and I hit it off, and he taught me then that how to do things and be precise with it. And, you know, and it was he that gave me the training through the rest of my professional career.
Right,
so
right.
I thank him a lot.
And did you have a park board in Shelbyville?
I did.
And I presume.
I can tell you when I first got here.
Go ahead.
When I first got here, it was all, no offense, athletic people. It was all people in a ball and bat situation. And when I opened the doors to the rec center, it was a fee-based program, but I decreased a lot of the non-residents and just combined a lot of programs so that people could feel welcome to come into a recreation center. And I'm not downplaying the man that was there when he came in, but if you got a recreation facility, you got to meet all of the people and have programs for them. So that's what I did. I opened the doors, I welcomed the people in, and that was success there. So,
Your park
but
board, your
the
park
first
board,
thing,
I'm asking, was your park board was an advisory board, or was it was not an administrative board,
no, it was advisory.
that
It was
advisory,
advisory.
right.
Right.
You know,
But
go ahead.
when someone would roll off, I would try to have the special needs honored on the board, represented on the board. I would have someone in the senior population. I tried to make it so it was equal to all of the programming that we were doing in Shelbyville.
So let me ask you this. I presume that Bedford County does not have a park and recreation agency itself.
That is correct.
Right. And
The Bedford County schools were consolidated back, I forget how many years ago. So the agreement was the city park system had an agreement with the county schools and the city. So we were the backup to the schools for their programming.
So
We had a contract agreement there.
I see. So you sort of had an outreach program out into the county areas in the outreach outlying
We
schools?
did.
I
We did.
see. I
So
see.
when you come to the recreation center from the county, you pay the same fees as the city residents. There was some disgruntlement with that. And everybody wanted to throw a non-resident fee on it. I said, if you're going to try something, don't make the non-resident higher. Keep the higher rate, the non-resident rate, and give your residents a discount. We never changed that, never became, I didn't want to fight that battle. So I didn't.
What is the
But
overall population of Bedford County?
well, I can tell you 52,000 as of the 2020 census.
I see.
I was the chairperson for the 2020 census. So 52,000.
Was about to
Yeah.
jump to that next question. Is I know that you've retired from your position there at Shelbyville Parks and Recreation. I understand they've hired Mike Alsup to come in and take that
Yes.
job, which is a terrific hire. But you've moved on to
He
be,
is.
become a county commissioner.
Yes.
Well, tell us more, dear.
Well, let me tell you, that's kind of in my blood. My mother in 1958 ran against six men for the county trustee's office.
Oh.
My father didn't sign her petition to her mother, and she won. So that's always been a gene that had always been in the back of my mind. If you talk to my brother, which is deceased now, if you talk to my sister, she is just like mother. So the mayor, current county mayor, and I would meet. He's very innovative thinking. And of course, I always like to have innovation thinking going on. And he's the one that called me and he said, okay, Sylvia, you need to either run for the school board or the county commissioner job in the 7th district. Now, my district is all in Shelbyville. So 7th district, you have three politicians govern people, two for the county and one for the city. I still say that's too much politics for a county seat, but it is what it is. We have 18 commissioners for 9 district, 2 per district. And I am one of the in the 7th. Now, my district is around the celebration ground. I have a large portion of trailer parks, public housing, Central High School, the middle school, and 2 elementary schools in my district. And that district is going to have about 5,800 voters that by the census, people, but 21% of that is Hispanics.
So, oh my goodness. And we have so interesting. So interesting.
So interesting. Yeah.
So you mentioned several things there that I wanted to go back to, and you has Bedford County and Shelbyville considered metropolitan form of government? Is that something that's going on now in your county?
I won't see it in my lifetime.
Okay.
But I will tell you when this, in 2018, is that correct? 4 years ago, is that correct? 2018. The county government and the city finally joined together on economic development and tourism. And it was a city manager came to my mayor that got elected and said, we got to do something about economics and tourism. Well, and the chamber at that time had it. And Shelbyville, the money for that was hotel motel. Right now, the county does not have hotels, but we are collecting some money off of bed and breakfasts, and we'll get into that a little bit more because I want to tell you about our new biggest employer coming into town. But anyway, so it was the two groups getting together and made a decision to pull that from the Chamber of Commerce, Shelbyville, Bedford County, and Chamber of Commerce. And oh my gosh, talking about 3 commissioners and 2 cities, councilman move, and we are on fire because of that change. As far as Metro, see, we have Bell Buckle, we have the town of Wartrace, we have Shelbyville, and we have the town of Normandy.
Oh, I forgot about Normandy.
Get that started. Yeah, the township of Normandy. So we have 4 cities and 1 county. To get that form of government right now, I don't know. It'll come to a time, but this was a breakthrough in 2019.
I see.
And I was chosen to serve on it because of my love for tourism, and my love for tourism is still a love for tourism.
Well, I had seen an interview that you did at one point online, and I guess I was just confused. I think it was the tourism and economic development emphasis that you were bringing forward. So tell us about do you have a new company or a new tenant coming into Bedford County?
Well, yes. And it's called Nearest Green Distillery. Nearest Green Distillery is a couple that discovered that Nearest Green, the black man that taught Jack Daniels how to distill whiskey.
Yes, yes, yes.
They're from L.A. That's not Lower Alabama. That's California. They were on a trip. She was reading the New York Times and discovered this, the slave that taught Jack Daniels how to distill. They left California, went to Lynchburg. Now, as most Tennesseans know, 25 miles from Shelbyville to Lynchburg, then you have Jack Daniels. If you go east of or down towards Coffee County, you got George Dickel, and Bedford County now has Nearest Green. So we have that triangle of whiskey. And they researched Lynchburg for the founders, the families, and so they bought their first farm, which was the Dan Call farm that Jack honestly taught, Nearest taught Jack Daniels still on. That was their first farm. They came to Shelbyville and bought one of the Tennessee Walking Horse farms on 231 from Murfreesboro to Shelbyville. Now, when I enjoy the Weavers so much, they did not put a blade to those barns. They retrofitted their concept into the Walking Horse barns. The barn had green roofs, had a horseshoe on their logo. So they maintained the logo, put the whiskey color in the horseshoe, Nearest Green Distillery at Saddle Creek Farm. So the branding for Shelbyville tourism, welcome to Shelbyville, whiskey, horses, and history.
Fantastic. Now, they launched that product a year or so ago, I am remembering. Is that right?
Yes, yes. 2017.
Okay, now, so 3 or 4 years ago.
2018.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yes.
All right. And with the Walking Horse Festival, tourism, and of course, War Trace is a fantastic little city to visit.
Well, of course, that's the cradle of the Walking Horse beginning. And we just crowned our 83rd Walking Horse Championship back in August, first weekend in September.
Well, you are definitely at home, Sylvia. That's for sure.
Oh, listen. Well, the Weavers have 60 walking horses, and Fawn herself rides, and on the farm.
The Weavers being the people that are starting this company.
Yes.
Right, right, right.
Fawn and Keith Weaver, F-A-W-N. The distillery is all female management. She's CEO and the rest are females. Keith is a VP of Sony Music out of California.
I see.
Keith is here. He is building the distillery. She's a marketing genius.
Fantastic.
And she is wonderful. And I am the tour guide, one of the tour guides. I greet everybody.
That's fantastic. Sylvia, we're going to have to wind up here in just a couple minutes. But before I do, I want to ask you some questions about your involvement in TRPA over the years. You've been a leader in the parks and recreation field, not only in the cities where you work, but also statewide with the professional association. Tell us about how that has been a part of your life and how important that's been in your life.
Well, I can go back when I first entered, when I came to Tennessee, and I ran into a man named Harvey Faust. Harvey Faust and working for Jerry Guess. And well, in Bartlett, Jess Winnington. That's where I met TRPA. I've always been a person that you must stay up with the trends and the values of your profession. And with mentors like those guys, I just soaked it up. And a lot of those guys gave me an opportunity to serve in a role. And it was Faust that said to me one day, I said to him, well, what do I have to offer? He looked at me and he said, Pinson, you got a lot to offer. You just don't realize it. And I had never dawned that I was good at anything. And it was he and Jerry and the count of the mayor in Florida that Kami brought to me. And each agency and each has allowed me to serve in these competitive roles. And of course, as I became a director and a superintendent, I promoted them being professionals. And I encouraged the CPRP or whatever it is now.
Right.
But it was never a requirement to a job. It was just a caviar that I had it. So that worked out perfectly. But going back to Shelbyville, and you asked me about the TRPA, we were working on accreditation for Jackson Parks and Rec through NRPA. When I left Jackson, I came to Shelbyville and found that there was no standards, professional standards. And at that time, it was through TRPA and Recreation Partes had come up with a benchmark program. And I took that opportunity and I took that program and gave it to staff to help develop them. And then I gave it to a secretary to develop with connecting City Hall. Because City Hall always had the answer, and I always said, no, you don't have the answer, because we're out here on the ground and y'all don't understand us, but we're going to teach you who we are.
So tell us more about how the State Parks and Recreation Technical Advisory Agency assisted you in doing that.
Well, they had come out with the program, and Shelbyville fell into a tier two. And by looking at that, and also I had taken several courses at NRPA on accreditation. And by the way, when I was in Jackson, I taught recreation minor for Jerry Guest at Lambeth College.
Okay.
Because he didn't have time, but he empowered me to teach his classes. So I knew about I know. So, yeah. But anyway, I knew the value of this because with that program, when it comes to fill out a grant, you now make a copy of that. And you don't have to, you know how complicated grants can be. And the accreditation or the Divine Six, I call them, the city council and the people of Shelbyville know that the Shelbyville Parks and Rec is a accredited benchmark program. And they still are there. Every 5 years, you got to update it. But it was a management tool I used, kept connecting the professional staff that I had just gained with City Hall and other departments.
So I think your city manager and your council would understand that when you go to state government seeking grant money, they sort of have a right to take a look under the hood and say, how is this city performing? Is it a good place to put our money? And by the accreditation that they have, it's kind of a way for them to kind of have some insurance that maybe the management is doing what they should there locally. Is that?
Well, listen, you're in a rural community, okay?
Right.
Rural communities. Now, when you're in metros, it's a horse of a different color. But when you get in rural communities, every tool like this just gives you one more edge up with cities. And I saw the value of this for Shelbyville. Now, Shelbyville had gotten grants previous because Griffin Park had a lot of amenities in it. And it had qualified and got grants and put in playgrounds. But before I left, upgraded all the playgrounds because I was at a national congress and they had changed the ground covering for playgrounds. And I came back and told the city manager, we're going to have to change that. And he said, but we're grandfather in. No, sir. We're not grandfathered in. He says, Sylvia, what do we got to do? I said, we need to go to a park and cut all those structures down and cut them up and just leave it blank until we can get money back to replace the playground. And then we need to take the big community bill and put in the proper ground covering. So that's why, and I say this with pride, when you send a professional to a professional meeting, then it's up to that professional to bring it back and make a city accountable for their citizens' safety.
Excellent. Sylvia, we're going to have to wind it up at this point. We've gone a little over an hour, and that's probably as much as anybody would want to sit and listen to the two of us chat. But I appreciate you so much and your enthusiasm. Is just terrific, and I appreciate your being with me today on this program. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and I am still knee high in tourism. South Central Tourism is a new role I'm playing, and I'm planning on running for re-election. And after these next 4 years, if I'm fortunate, most probably it's time to hang up the tennis shoes.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sylvia.